Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back. As we continue, we're just a few minutes away from speaking to Jimbo Fisher. Always a highlight of SEC Media Day. He is here today. And that's something that I think many, many people are interested in. Travis Brown joining us from the Bryan College Station Eagle. Travis, you probably already heard a little bit from Jimbo today. What should we look forward to when he drops by here in a few minutes?
Well, maybe you'll get a few more answers out of him than we have, because talking season started today, but he's not really saying a whole lot. You know, the big storyline is...
Talking.
Yeah, right. Bobby Petrino comes in, offensive coordinator, and how's that dynamic going to be? Both of them have called plays for a long time. What's that going to look like? And he's a whole offseason he hasn't really given any look into what that's going to look like during spring practice.
Maybe he doesn't know yet.
Yeah, maybe that's still to be shaken out. But just not a whole lot coming out of Jimbo today about what to expect for an Aggie team that needs to bounce back.
Last year when he got here, it was in the aftermath of the Saban controversy, and he was fairly open, I thought, just about how one-sided it was in terms of questions that he was asked versus Nick Saban. He had an edge to him. Are you suggesting that he doesn't have an edge today, coming off of one of his worst seasons?
Yeah, I don't see it as an edge at all today. I think that it's almost kind of a little bit back on his heels. Last year he came in on his toes, and he was aggressive in kind of countering some of that stuff, and even before SEC Media Days, of course, aggressive countering that stuff. I think this year he's a little bit on his heels. We don't know what to expect. I don't know how much they know what to expect yet either, but yeah, it's going to be interesting come the fall, but not a whole lot this go around.
Travis, I don't hear that much. Now, again, I'm not in Bryan, Texas, but I don't hear that much controversy about his current state, his future. It almost seems like, because of all the hullabaloo over his contract, that people don't really think anything is going to happen to him. What's it like on the ground there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a lot to delve into on and really think about with how much is owed to him with that contract. But I do think that people said they wanted an offensive coordinator, the higher ups, and they got him to hire a guy who, by all means, intents and purposes, we think will be a guy who calls plays and runs the offenses. And I think that's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a last shot, but it certainly is like we're going to give you a little bit of grace to see how this works. If it doesn't work right away, it's going to be really interesting to see how quickly people turn and how the attitudes turn, because I think this is a little bit of a, not Hail Mary, but a little bit of this needs to be your the thing that turns everything around, or else people are really going to start thinking about this.
He was so well liked a couple of years ago whenever I would visit College Station. I didn't get out there last year because the season was so bad. Is he still highly regarded in that community, or are people starting to go, what did we end up with here?
As things continued to roll through the season last year, I do think people were a little confused, particularly about the contract and the way the contract spelled out. And you got to go back to the fact that it was Scott Woodward who gave him that contract, who bolted not too long after that, and the fact that they're on the hook for a guy that I think A&M fans, if anybody else, if any other coach puts together that season last year, they're very much on the hot seat, but they couldn't. And so I think there's a lot of anger towards the contract. I think there's a lot of anger towards the way Jimbo Fisher called plays, the vanilla-ness of the offense. So I do think he gained some support back by making the offensive coordinator higher, but I don't think there's a long leash there. I think if you get through some of these non-conference games, there's still a soreness from that Appalachian State game last year. If they're not dominant wins, if they're not, you know, clicking on all cylinders and on offense in those non-conference guarantee games, it could be troublesome, and things could turn quickly.
Let's talk about the schedule, because Miami is early on the road. I don't know. I mean, hard to read much in either team from last year. And obviously, Alabama comes to Kyle Field. There will be an expectation there. Then the usual suspects. I mean, it's not a mystery what A&M has to deal with. What kind of scenario do you envision as being somebody who lives there and covers this team?
Yeah, I mean, the first off, the Miami thing is fascinating to me, because I do really enjoy the drama and the soap opera that is NIL across the country. And like, what two better teams to go up against each other when you want to talk about NIL and all the conspiracy theories and everything, Miami and Texas A&M? So that's one of the first things I'm looking at is, okay.
I thought Jimbo said they didn't deal with the NIL.
He doesn't know anything about it. So that's another no answer to today. But yeah, I think that's one of the compelling storylines of that. And then beyond that, again, it's your directional schools that A&M typically will bring in your guarantee games. And those guarantee games weren't a walk in the park for Aggies last year. I just think that, you know, it needs to start early, it needs to start quick, and they need to rack up some wins before they get to the SEC to get that goodwill rolling.
Yeah, because, should that Miami game go the other way, then the Arkansas game, which is a 50-50 game that A&M always wins, mm-hmm. but it's still a 50-50 game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upbeat on this program from a distance. Wegman, this defensive talent that was too young last year and immature, a lot of bad apples discarded. What do you think?
I think that everything this season is going to fall back onto the offensive line. It's an offensive line that struggled last year to give whatever quarterback that was back there any time to work and operate. They didn't really bring anybody in of note in the transfer portal, and four of their five starters were out during spring ball, yet they're saying that this offensive line is going to take a huge step forward. They do get Bryce Foster back, who is a talented center and the kind of quarterback of that offensive line, but this season is going to go one way or the other depending on the offensive line and how well they can give whoever is at quarterback, whoever is at running back time, because running back, quarterback, they're all going to be guys who have not as much experience in the SEC, and they're going to need that support from the guys up front.
Travis Brown with us. Travis, I asked an A&M person a couple months ago, what's it been like so far with Bob Petrino? And again, this person told me, checked a lot of boxes, primarily because the expectation was Frankenstein, and anything other than that turns out to be better. Do you guys see him in town? I know there's not a lot of talking to him. What's he like, and will he be made available?
Yeah, we haven't talked to coordinators since before Sumlin's last season at A&M. So we'll see if that happens. But what we did get to see is the first 20 minutes of spring drills when he's out there, and they're to Jimbo and Petrino's credit. If you want to say that, I don't know if Jimbo's going to hand over the keys to the car. Looking at Jimbo the last years he's been at A&M, he was always right next to the quarterbacks through all of the quarterback drills and the offensive drills, talking through plays, yelling, doing everything. This year, that was Petrino, who was right there with the quarterback drills, running the pass routes and working with the running backs. And Jimbo was wandering around doing his kind of CEO role, going to the defense, going to the special teams, then checking in on the quarterback. So at least in that time period that we got to see, it does seem to be operating like they say it is, where the offense is Bobby's and Jimbo is kind of that CEO umbrella kind of type guy walking around and checking in on all the different aspects of the team.
again, I still shake my head, and I realize I cover a lot of Nick Saban during my time in Alabama, but the idea that coordinators are not made available is just, I still find that to be fairly shocking.
Yeah. Now, an interesting thing, though, is there's been a couple of times through this summer that Jimbo has been unable to do some of the speaking events, which is kind of a new thing this year. He's usually made all the A&M clubs and everything. And they've sent associate head coach Elijah Robinson, who coaches the defensive linemen, to speak at some of those things. So we've gotten to talk to him a little bit, which is another interesting aspect to it, because he's a defensive coordinator and associate head coach, but yeah, we haven't talked to an offensive coordinator in a real long time.
Maybe I'm just always looking for something abstract, but I saw a picture of Jimbo checking in the hotel yesterday afternoon or last night, which I found to be interesting, because usually these coaches, they get on the school plane, they fly in, they're out. I'm not trying to insinuate anything other than maybe he decided to come, check out Broadway. But is there some explanation why Jimbo was here early?
The interesting thing, before we came down here, we went down to Houston, and Houston had the Texas High School Coaches Association Coaching School, which, if you're in the state of Texas, you know, is a big deal. 17,000 coaches in the Houston Convention Center. They bring in college coaches to do little panels, Q&As, demonstrations, and then they talk to the media. And anybody who's been around Texas and those recruiting knows that coaching association is highly regarded. He sent Elijah Robinson last night and said that there was a personal conflict that he was not be able to attend. And then we've heard that, he was here already in Nashville.
I talked to a colleague of mine who literally was at the front door when he walked in.
Right. So yesterday he was scheduled to be at the Texas High School Coaches Association and speaking, and Elijah Robinson, the word we got is that they let them know Friday evening that he had a personal conflict.
That is a big deal. I mean, that was the thing that Saban was at 2 years ago when he mentioned Bryce Young.
Yes.
And their $1 million.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And, you had Jimbo, when he first came in, too, was accused by the Coaches Association of talking to the 7-on-7 coaches and stuff like that. Early on, and kind of got in crossways, had to kind of mend some fences with the Coaches Association early on. But it's a big deal. A lot of coaches there. Shane Beamer was there. Mack Brown was there. Steve Sarkisian was there, all talking, giving little bits. Dana Holgerson. So, yeah.
What's the level of concern as we close up here about Texas seem to be ascending while A&M seems to be directionless at the moment?
First off, we got to see what Texas is in the SEC.
That's preseason hype.
Right, because, there is some proof to what Jimbo Fisher harps, and a lot of SEC coaches harp, is that in the SEC, it all starts and ends in the trenches, on the offensive line and the defensive line, and the ability to have strength and power in those spots. And the Big 12 offensive lines and defensive lines are a lot different than the SEC offensive defense lines. I've covered teams in both conferences, so it'll be interesting to see how much on the rise Texas is once you get into that SEC schedule, or if they're just going to be in that middle of the pack, kind of like where A&M is right now. I don't know how much validity can be with that, because it's a little bit comparing apples to oranges.
I'm going to withdraw the question. It has been enlightening to talk to you, Travis. Come back.
Sure, anytime.
Really enjoyed it. Travis Brown. Quite an interesting perspective, and we'll talk to Jimbo Fisher shortly. So I'll quote you saying all the things that you just said.
Good.
And see when the next time he calls you back.
Good.
We'll be right back, Travis. Thank you very much. We're back at SEC Media Days.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Quite a bit to really unpack there from Travis Brown. I was mesmerized by some of his comments. I mean, this is not exactly the rah-rah that we've heard about Jimbo Fisher in the past. So we'll get a chance to talk to Fisher in just a few minutes. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. And certainly... I wouldn't say the wolves are out, but they're certainly howling a little bit in the distance, depending on the season. Anyway, we are going to we'll be joined by Jimbo Fisher in a few minutes, also Coach Drink, a number of other personalities. We'll talk more about the Aggies with Billy Lucci a little bit later on. Right now, we'll take a short break.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
We are live in Nashville as we continue coverage of SEC Media Days. It is day one. It's been an entertaining day already. The commissioner speaking. And then you heard Brian Kelly and, of course, Jimbo Fisher eagerly anticipated appearance at the podium. And now here. Coach, it's always good to see you. Thank you.
Good to see you too, Paul.
I was joking to you about your appearance, and it's not a joke. It's a very serious subject, but you're honoring Coach Leach as the commissioner was, and quite commendable.
Yeah, it really was. And Mike was a great guy, and you know, we just experienced a big loss ourselves with Terry Price. Our defensive end coach passed away down there. So, you know, we get caught up in all the pressures of this game and the winning and losing, but, you know, the real thing, there's some great people out there that we've lost in the past year that, you know, memories and people you've met that really mean a lot.
Yeah, I remember Coach Price very well in covering Auburn over the years. What a absolutely giant of a man.
And he was.
We had a chance to talk to RC afterwards, and his tribute to him was heartbreaking.
Yes.
I know you were well aware of that, being on your staff and plays such an important role. Well, I know it's everybody is anticipatory of the season, but mm-hmm. What's your off season been like?
Great. Been fun. We've had a great season. I think the guys have developed a very good camaraderie. I think they're on a mission to do the things they have to do. And we've had a great – our leadership group has done a really, really good job of educating our young players and our older guys, the things they want and how they want it. And I think they're doing a great job of leading the team. And we've had some good – now it's got a few weeks away now, but those days are over. We're ready to roll now.
Been sitting up here earlier, and in the prelude to the beginning, it's 2 hours of a lot of hot air. And a lot of it consumed you. Not so much you, but Bob Petrino. It's a question that has been hashed out really ad nauseum, but haven't had a chance to really get inside of that. And what's it like on the other side? You made the decision. You've already discussed
been great.
It.
I've known Bobby a long time. A lot of respect for him. He's done a great job. We're having great meetings, doing great things, and been a tremendous staff member, recruiting well. He's coaching the guys well, doing a great job with the offense and the things he's doing, and been awesome. We got staff loves him. People love him.
I've never heard more chatter about a relationship because you're two guys that have been at the highest level of the game. This isn't something that you just dreamed up. You obviously thought a lot about it. When you bring somebody like that in, what is it like?
We have a lot of respect. Guy who's been very accomplished, done a great job. You've coached against him. You've coached, saw him at afar. Have shared ideas with him over the years, watched film, things he does. And you want a guy who's as good as there is at the craft. And as a head coach, that's what you want to hire. You want to hire guys who have great knowledge, have a great experience, have had great success in what they do and what they bring to the table. And, you know, it's been a great fit so far.
I don't know how much attention – probably none, but I don't want to answer my own question, but how much attention you pay to the narratives. These narratives are out there that you're the quarterback whisperer. You can't back away a little bit. Obviously, you've made that decision. What has it been like, and what do you think it will be like?
It's easy. I mean, as a head coach, you're still going to be involved. And all right, let me ask you this. When Nick calls defenses, I mean, does Nick call – he doesn't call defenses. Kirby doesn't call defenses. You know, and I say that from a point. It's not that hard. It's really not, because you're going to have meeting, and you're going to be in the meetings of what's going on in your team, and you make collective ideas about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. But then you turn it over to guys and you let them – you have confidence in the job that you're hiring them to do, and let them do the job.
See, Coach, you asked me a question that you already know the answer to because you've been on his staff. He calls the plays when they win, and when – they lose, it's someone else's fault.
But I mean, as a head coach, you got, whether it's – and I'm talking about defense. I spend time on the defensive staff, time on the special teams. We game plan special teams and offense. I mean, you got to have that narrative of how you're going into game plan and what you attack. But you let guys that you hire go with what they know and how they know it within the concepts of what you're trying to do and what we have to do to win the game. And that's what it's about each and every week.
Internally, because you have always called plays, and it's been such a big part of your life – and I realize you've only experienced it in practice, but during the game, what do you think? I've done this before.
I've been at times at different games. I've let guys call games. Okay. Even when I was at Florida State, at times we've done that at times. You get involved.
Is it more – how much more of the game do you feel or do you not?
No, you're still right there on every play and what you do and how you're doing it, and you know what they're calling, and it's in the narrative of how you're attacking the team and the things that are going. It's not as big a deal as people make it out to be, in my opinion, and it's freed me up to do a lot of other things that this game is changing. It's evolving very quickly in a different things, and there's a lot of time constraints that you feel very comfortable with him running that room and knowing those things are being done, that you can handle the other parts of it and then come in to fill you in what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and have confidence in the way it's going to be done.
I've always wondered, because you hear in my business, which is a little bit different than yours, there's always this criticism, I remember I heard it was some of your former, I think your former, one of your former bosses at Auburn. He's got to turn the play calling over. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. But You said something critical. You're the head coach. Doesn't everything go through you?
Yes, it all does. And no matter who you're coaching, whether who's calling plays, if a guy that aren't calling plays, and head coaches that don't know that, their programs go down very quickly and or go away very quickly, because if there's issues, you can't fix it. You don't know what's going on to do those things. As a head coach, you're still a CEO of a company. You have the direction you want to go and what you do, but you hire people to do it. You hire a great, help to do those situations, and that's how it goes. And that's the narrative of what it goes with. Just like ESPN, just like your show. It's no different than any business. We're not any different than any business or any organization anywhere.
Chatting here with Jimbo Fisher, and it's always I'm always intrigued by these conversations, because you are different than a lot of coaches. You have spoken your mind, and in relation to your own career, I know that's an awkward subject, but Where are you right now, and where is this program?
We're right in a great position. We're recruiting well. We got good players. We got a great staff. Expect to have a great year, because you have one season that didn't go where you wanted to go. You look at why it happened, fix the issues, move on. That's what life is. I mean, you adjust, you adapt, you grow, you learn, and then you move forward.
Could you see last season going on, knowing you had enormous talent coming in? You already had a lot of talent on the team. And there's more to football than just signing top players. You have to make it work.
If critical people got hurt too, we had injuries and things that happened. I know the critical things, it could make us vulnerable. And at the end of the day, all right, whether you win 11 games, I've been in this league, we've won 11, 12 games when we were different teams, whether Florida State, LSU as an assistant. But we won three of them in 2-minute offense that year. And you won five games by one score. Well, last year we lost five games by one score. The inches you fight for, whether you're on top or on the bottom, they can, it can go that quick. And what you got to do is understand why you're doing it, get back to fighting for the inches, get a great attitude within your concept of your team, which we have right now, and play. That's what it's all. That's, you can be on top or bottom in this league, or in any league in college football that fast.
You can't coach at the highest level, which obviously we're here and you are, without having confidence. But when you have a season like that and you lose a couple of games at the wire, although you did end well, does anything change inside of you, or are you still a fairly confident coach?
You believe in what you do. If that shakes your confidence and knowledge of what you do, you don't need to be where you're at. I mean, anything. You're going to have good days, bad days, but you got to understand the key word is why. Why did it happen? If you understand why and you get the players to understand, that's why we never lost to players. Our players never quit playing hard. They never quit playing. We didn't play as well, and that's, we have to coach them better. It's not that we have to find a way to help them make those plays and do a better job, and I think our staff did a good job in those situations of educating why we didn't have success, showing them on film, and then if we thought we could have done a better job, we said that. We're all in this together. It's not blaming players or players blame. You have to execute at the critical moments and get guys to understand that, and then also put them in those situations. I think that's what's going to help us, getting those healthy guys back that we had injured. Those young guys went through a lot of experiences, guys, games that we could have won at the end, and us understanding who they are and how to help them and how to call plays or defenses or special teams things that allow them. And, you know, it's not their fault that no player makes a mistake because he wants to, and then that's, as a coach, you have to evaluate what can I do to help him play better, and then we're all in it together. And you have five score now, you just got to get over there. You got to find inches. There's about three, you say about 5 inches a game, which is about five plays, and you got to find a way to find those inches each and every time.
You have had a fascinating life and career. You've had the literally highest moments that you can have as an assistant, as a head coach, winning a championship, nearly repeating the next year. You've had low moments, personal situations and tragedies. We just mentioned one, but you know, even more close to that, dealing with a lot of adversity. When you're in the middle of something like that, it's moving 1,000 miles a minute. But how did you cope?
Not really. You go back to your fundamentals and what you taught, and that goes back to the way you were brought up. That goes back to your mom and your dad and your situations and what you have to do and your foundation as a person. You don't panic just because you don't get the results you want. You stay within the process, stay true to yourself and your beliefs, and you handle them on a day-to-day and a situational basis.
Is that just the way you've always been, mm-hmm. leaning on that upbringing?
I was all my life, and that's the way I was taught to do it. I mean, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of things. I had a lot of adversity. My dad was hurt, and his mind exploded, and things like that. There was a lot, which we don't go into, but how he went about his life, how my mom went about her life, how family go about their life. We all go back to our past experiences. We are what we are, and how we learn, and as a tough mindset where we come from, and how you do it, and you got to grind through it.
So what you're telling us is what we think is the end of the world, losing a football game, is not.
No, it is to me at that moment. Listen, I'm the most competitive person in the world. I was just at home with my buddy, and we were, like I said, I told the story a little bit ago. We were playing a cornhole game. We were losing, and me and my son, when we were playing, and he said, "Oh, we're going to have to sit here and play till you win again like when I was a kid," because winning was important. I mean, there's nobody who doesn't want to win more than we do. But also, you got to understand why it happens, and those things happen. Now, fix it, move on, go back. We can get right back to the top just as quick. We have good players. We got a good staff. We got a good plan. Our players are playing together. They have a great continuity on our team. I love our dynamic right now. You can talk to our players and see. But at the end of the day, we need to quit talking about it. We got to go do it. And that's what it gets down to. And I feel very confident going into the season. I love our team. I feel very good about it. We're talented. We can be good. We got a great staff and ready to play ball.
I mean, you're a coach that has been coveted by a lot of schools. It's well documented. In terms of where you are at this particular university,
I love being there, and we can win there. We can be very good there. And we're going to get over the hump, and we have to get over the hump. That's what you have to do. And there's times in life, this is where you find out who you are. This is where you find out what you're made of and what you believe in. Do you truly believe what you say? Do you do what you do? And at the most critical, because when pressure comes, who you are as a person comes straight to the top. Are you a panicker, or are you a fixer? And you got to go back and do it.
Coach, in those moments, because again, I'm not a coach. It's easy for me to criticize one.
But it's anything in your business. But when if your show is going good, do you change it? Or do you panic and not go against what you believe? You make adjustments, but your core values of who you are and what you are don't really change.
No, but you do. Yeah, sure. In this business,
I didn't mean to tongue tie you now.
Well, I've never been interviewed by Jimbo Fisher. You can panic.
You can.
And you can be replaced just like
everybody can. Right. That's what – listen, Stick. I always tell our players, stick your hand in a bucket of water, pull it out. The hole that's left is how much your place in this world is going to miss. That's just the marks of life. It's what you do with it. And it can happen in that second. We know that dimension, you get in it. When I got in it as a young coach and you had one-year contracts. Back in the day, when I first started coaching, you had a one-year contract. If you didn't do good, you were done. So, I mean, there was always pressure to perform, and you have to do that. But you got to understand who you are and have the core values and the basis of what you want to do. And you adjust. You learn. You're going to change. You're going to make corrections. You're going to adjust to new styles, new things that happen. But your core values are what it is. You can't panic. What good does that do? And what does worry do? People say, you're worried. What does worry? Does worry help you get results? No. The urgency of fixing things does, and that's what we have to do, and you have to go back to why you do things.
I'm tongue-tied again. But in your situation, a lot of people, including back to the days of your father and mine, you know, they lose their job, they're in deep trouble. And I'm not putting you on the spot here, but
no.
Everyone talks about, you know,
okay,
your
contract.
Okay,
I don't worry about that. I don't worry about losing my job.
Does that help you?
I worry
you
about not
you?
Doing a good job for our players and our fans and the people on our support staff who count on us every day to keep a job. That's what motivates me and drives me. I'm not worried about myself. I've never worried about myself, whether I had a one-year contract or a 10-year contract. I'm worried about the people who work under us, the players having a great experience in winning, and our fans getting a great program, which they deserve, and the alumni base and all that stuff. That's what I worry about. The rest of that stuff, you don't control that. I can control the other.
Do you worry about how it affects those who are close to you, though?
Yeah, but they understand that.
They hear it.
They understand it when they go in.
Okay.
They ain't gonna listen to it.
They're not.
that's the world we live in. That's what we live in. I mean, that's our world, and you know that when you get in this business each and every day. And you want to change it? Go win.
As you look ahead to the season, we'll get back to football before I let you move on with your Because I say that because it's interesting. I mean, you are at such as the center of conversation. You're one of the most
talked about. That's great. We're relevant.
But I'm surprised because a lot of people I do know in this industry are bothered by it. They do not like the noise. They try to shut it down.
You're doing your job. The press are doing their job. The other things are doing their job. We understand what it's about. I mean, you can't. Can't deal with it that way. You got to deal with control what you can control and change the narrative.
Looking ahead, there is optimism.
Got a chance to have a really good football
you
team.
You seem really.
I think we got good players. They got dynamic. I love the dynamic of our leadership of our team. I love our staff. I love the things we have. And I think we got a team that wants to find those five plays to get over that hump. I mean, you got to. And sometimes taking a step back makes you take a step forward. You don't lose confidence. You gain urgency and an understanding of how important each little detail of everything is. And I think that's the key to making the change.
Are you looking forward to the season with different circumstances? Or
I'm really looking forward to it. I love every time we go on the field and compete and play. I love it. And I mean, as a competitor, what's a greater thing than people doubt you or have a question about you? You don't care about it, but people doubt you. The other team's always thinking they're going to win. I mean, what's the difference each and every time you go at it?
These are always fascinating to me. I love to get inside the head of people that are always being talked about, which you are, by the way.
It's good.
Jimbo Fisher, thank you for your time. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Great to see you. We'll be right back. We're live at SEC Media Days.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Family into it. It becomes like, I've never done this before, but I became a fan. Like, I don't know what a fan is like, right? I usually have them throw stuff at me. But to able to go and sit with my wife and our family to a baseball game and watch it and be a fan was something I've never had in my career. It was fun.
Let's look at what they call Radio Row. It is exactly what it says. That's where all the
radio stations around the SEC park and lasso guests as they're walking by. We are back, and we are going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Love to hear from you, and not a lot of time today with all the guests popping by, but get your reaction to what we heard there from Jimbo Fisher. I thought he said some very interesting things. Jimbo Fisher is not what you would normally call a laid-back, talkative interview, but I thought he revealed a lot there about his state of mind, what he's been through, considering the absolute hurricane of events that occurred last year, the bringing in of Bob Petrino. Let's grab some calls. Matt is in San Antonio to start us off.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I like what Jimbo Fisher said. I know he got you tongue-twisted twice. I wanted to say I think this year is going to be a really good year. Paul Feinbaum for A&M, we're going to bounce back season. But I'm also glad that you guys are going to Dallas for SEC Media Day. I can even meet you there, Paul.
Well, I look forward to that. Yeah, thanks, Matt. It was announced today by the commissioner that SEC Media Days.
I'm glad for that. I get to meet you, brother.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the call. But mostly it's been in Alabama, but it's been in Atlanta twice and obviously here in Nashville. It will be in Dallas next year. And, you know, you asked the question, why Dallas? Of course, the answer is obvious. That's where OU and Texas play the annual game in October. And with OU and Texas joining with a hat tip to both of them, for the first time, the conference will be in Dallas. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And let's go to Alabama next.
Paul, how you doing, man?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. Where you been, brother? I mean, I know this is none of my business, but just...
just off the grid a little bit.
You enjoy yourself?
I sure did. Thank you.
Well, Paul, I mean, I've been off the grid for 7 years, man. You're not planning on retiring no time soon. I mean, I know everybody asks you that once a day.
No, I love what I do. We just always shut down in the summertime. The network goes to the takeover for 2 weeks, and I'm not normally gone, but I had to do something last week, which completely.
You all right?
Involve the entire... Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. We're just calling a check on you, man.
Thank you.
When the captain is not at the helm, I mean, people are going like, hey, I need to jump off the ship or...
No, nobody needs to jump off.
Okay, so everything is status quo, and we're still expanding the SEC to 32 teams.
That is correct.
Okay, and, you know, I forget which one of your boys it was. I think it was maybe Braden Gall. Does that ring a bell?
It does, yes.
He sounded like he wanted to bring Notre Dame in.
Well, unfortunately, Braden does not get a vote. Pat is next. Pat calling from Georgia. Pat, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I hope you're well today. I've been listening to the media days for most of the day. It was tough for me to listen to Jimbo Fisher, and it sounded to me like it was a tough interview for you. Pardon my French, but who's just a BS artist?
Well, the one thing I tried in that interview, and I've interviewed Jimbo a lot, I was just trying to maybe make it a little more personal than just ask the prosaic questions that he's already answered today. And yeah, it's a challenge, but I give him credit. I thought whether he really wanted to or not, I think he revealed himself a little bit more than he normally does. This is not somebody that is very relaxed. And by the way, I mean, he's in a very tough spot. Everybody knows the narrative on Jimbo Fisher. And I felt it was important, Pat, easy or not, to try to get underneath all that. And I think, you know, he said a couple of important things. He talked about leaning on what he learned growing up, the son of a coal miner. He talked about, you know, his state in life. And, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of people would argue back, well, if you had a $70 million buyout, you wouldn't be overly concerned either. But he seemed to lean on his competitiveness, and the jury is out on exactly how his career is going to finish.
Well, the one question we'd all like an answer to is how is this going to work with your new offensive coordinator, and are you really going to let all the plays?
Well, I thought I tried pretty hard to ask that question to him, and he answered it by saying he's done it before, although not for long. And, you know, that's really where I wanted to expound. But, you know, he is one of those guys, Pat, that just simply doesn't give a lot of long answers. So, you know, both of us were kind of in outer space up there, and I felt pretty good about some of his answers. Hey, thanks for the call. Logan is up next. Logan, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I would like to talk about the Alabama, schedule.
Okay.
Hot take, but I say they go 9-3, and they still make the SEC championship.
Okay, so one of those losses, I'm guessing, would have to be Texas, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So Texas,
that's a tough climb. I don't know how. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's impossible, but that would be very difficult with two losses to make the SEC championship game.
So the three losses, I say they are Texas at home, LSU at home, and Tennessee at home. And I would say a bold take to have Nick Saban lose three games in the season, nonetheless, at all at home.
Well, Logan, I am going to make a bold prediction here. If Alabama loses three games, I do not think they will make it to the SEC championship game. But thanks anyway. Appreciate the call. Peggy is up next in Tennessee.
Hello, Paul. How have you been?
I have been great. Thank you. I've missed you, Peggy.
Well, let's not start off by being here. You've had a good time. You've had a break. And I would say you needed it. I hope you
got
some rest.
We will be right back. We're live in Nashville, Tennessee.